tonight, going to be doing something a little bit different, something that I hardly ever do, and that is I'm going to be kicking Alice out of her spot right there. No, you can sit there. I can work around it. I'm going to be using a lot of PowerPoint presentation tonight to show you some things, because what I'm going to share with you is what God was sharing with me, and on the inside, I was kind of visualizing this as He was speaking to me. And to help you visualize it, it's better if I use this PowerPoint presentation. And so in just a few moments, I'll be going down there. But first off, I want you to turn over to Luke. Luke chapter 6. Kind of helps if you know the chapter, doesn't it? Luke chapter 6. Verse 46, Jesus is speaking and He says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the storm beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Now, we're not going to spend much time at all here in this passage, but basically what Jesus is talking about is spiritual growth and maturity. And the rock that He's talking about is the rock of His sayings. You know, you build your life on my sayings, and, you know, you're going to be able to withstand. And He says, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Now, somebody could ask the question, well, okay, what has He said? And another person might respond, well, whatever you see in red in your Bible, that's what He said. Well, you know, it goes a whole lot further beyond that. It's not just what you see in red. It's what you see from cover to cover. Hallelujah. It's what God has put in His Word. This is God's Word. And we could paraphrase this 46th verse as though, remember what Jesus made the statement over there in John, I forget what chapter and all, but He said, "The things that I say, you know, I don't speak of myself, but I speak what my Father tells me to speak, what I hear from Him." So therefore, Jesus is speaking this as He's directed by God. So in a manner of speaking, we could say that God is speaking to us here in verse 46, and we can put it like this. "And why are you calling me your Father, God? Why are you saying all these wonderful things about me, but yet you don't do what I've told you to do in my Word? I'm not really the God to you that you think I am. Oh, you might be born again, but I'm really not the Father to you that I could be, because I've given to you my Word, and yet you're not doing it. So, what is wrong?" And I think God might, you know, if we think of it from that perspective, He might ask that of a lot of people, amen, what is wrong? Well, anyway, this whole thing of spiritual growth and this whole thing of spiritual maturity, it's something that I was thinking about here the other day, and I began thinking about churches. Christians and churches, about, you know, spiritual growth, spiritual maturity, and so on and so forth. And what happens in churches, and can we just be honest here with each other, as though we wouldn't, but have you ever wondered how come it is that some churches can be so big and they preach against being filled with the Holy Spirit? How can a church be so big and preach that? Or a church that maybe they believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit, but yet they teach against divine healing. There are churches like that. How can that be? In fact, I heard a report here not too long ago, and I won't identify the church, but it is a church. The pastor is Spirit-filled, and the church believes in the operation of the gifts of the Spirit and so forth, but yet the pastor stood up, and I got this from somebody who was in the service and heard it. The pastor stood up and said that God, He'll heal you of things like cancer and so forth, but when it comes to things like a cold, He's not going to heal you. And, you know, like scratch, excuse me. I don't understand. You know, the Bible says that by Jesus' stripes we were healed. The Bible says God sent His Word and healed us and delivered us from all our instructions. The Bible says Jesus took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now, the last time I checked, a cold was a sickness, was it not? So then, how can I stand up as a pastor and say something like that? But here's the problem with this. When you've got a whole room full of people and they hear that, don't you know that there's a tendency for a bunch of them, if not maybe all of them, to believe it? To accept that? So now what if that church had 5,000 people in it? That's 5,000 people that might accept that teaching. That means every time they get a cold, they're not even going to consider speaking God's word as far as healing. At least I don't think they would, because they've been told God won't heal them. How sad. How absolutely sad. That goes right along with what Jesus said in here. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I say? One of the things that I have said in this book is that by my stripes you were healed. So therefore, why call me Lord and then turn around and tell people that, no, it works for some things, but other things, nope, sorry, it doesn't apply. Only for the big stuff. So God can show off. Excuse me. God doesn't have to show off. You understand what I'm saying? So anyway, if you're like me, you've wondered throughout the years how come it is that you can have a church over here that can be really big and yet you know what's going on, what's being taught. Now, they may be preaching Jesus as Savior, okay? But beyond that, some of us, we might have spent some time in churches like that, amen? But we won't talk about them, will we? But how come it seems like you have a lot of churches like that? I mean, why does this go on? And so I'm kind of talking to the Lord about this, and He began to share some things with me. And I'm going to share some things with you. Remember the story of Gideon. That's in Judges chapter 6. Well, what had happened, the Midianites had attacked. And they were attacking every year, stealing the food, just really making life miserable for everybody. And it wasn't just the Midianites, but others came in with them and helped out in these raids. Well, one day, this guy named Gideon, he's out doing his thing, threshing, hiding, trying to hide the food so that the bandits don't come and take it. And the Lord shows up. Well, the angel of the Lord shows up. And he begins to talk to Gideon about some things. You know, hail thou, and you know, calls him all these wonderful things. And Gideon says, who, me? And he says, yeah, you. It says, the Lord has chosen you to lead your people in victory over the enemy. Gideon says, I don't think so. And the angel says, nah, trust me on this one. You're supposed to do it. How many of you have figured out I'm paraphrasing big time here? Okay. Hey, listen, maybe I should write my own version of the Bible. Everybody else does. So anyway, we'll pick this story up right here. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him, and he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him, and he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. So Gideon's had this meeting with this angel, and the angel has said, you're the man. And so Gideon sends word out and calls all these people in. Says, listen, you know, we've got to do something about this. So all these guys come in, you know, the volunteer army. They're all willing to help out. Well, it says, the Lord speaks to Gideon and he says, now therefore, now Gideon, listen to me. You go too and proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. 69% of the people left. Only 31% stayed. 69%. Get this. Now let's kind of bring it home, okay? 69% of his congregation walked out on him and took their offerings with them. How dare them! 69% hit the road, and 31% stayed behind. Well, but he still got, what, 10,000? I mean, 10,000, that's a lot of people, okay? Well, not as many as the enemy, but 10,000 people is a whole lot. Well, the Lord said unto Gideon, The people are yet too many. If I'm Gideon, I'm thinking, excuse me? Who is this? Get thee behind me, Satan. He says, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water. And Gideon, I'm sure Gideon's wondering, what, and drown them? Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. So Gideon did this. He takes them down to the water and he has them drink, and he pays attention to who's lapping like a dog and who gets down on his knees and like scoops it up with his hands. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. This isn't sounding too good, is it? Because the Lord says unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand and let all the other people go, every man unto his place. What does that mean? That means that now, after all these people are gone, he's got 300 people left out of the original 32,000, which is less than 1%. He is down to 0.94% of the original group of people. That means, speaking in church terms, he went from a congregation of 32,000 down to 300. That is one empty sanctuary. He has less than 1% of the original bunch. Now, let's think for a minute. What if we had been there? What if we had been an observer of this whole thing? Now, we're not the ones hearing God, are we? Gideon's the one. And we start seeing all these people packing their bags and leaving by the thousands. And wouldn't we maybe kind of have this wondering in us as to whether or not Gideon is hearing God? Now Gideon, brother, you know I love you. Anytime somebody starts out a conversation like that, watch out. You know I love you. But, there's always a but, all right, after that. But, are you sure you're hearing from God? I mean, you're supposed to be walking in victory. You're supposed to be overcoming the enemy. You had 32,000 people, Gideon. And, man, I don't know if it's your preaching or the worship team or what, but you are down to 300 people. How are you going to meet the utility payments on that building? How are you going to pay the mortgage? How are you going to pay the staff, if there's any left? Gideon, man, I appreciate everything you're doing. I appreciate your efforts, but I got to tell you something. This is not the way you win a battle. Well, you know how the story went. They won, didn't they? And oh, what a story that is. That is one of my favorite stories in all the Bible, that whole thing of Gideon. I mean, you can pull so much out of that and preach it, you know, 10 different ways. But they won the battle. Now, anybody observing this, the experts in military warfare would have said, Gideon, you're a fool. You're giving your soldiers trumpets? You're giving them a lantern? I mean, Gideon, where are the weapons? Gideon, don't you understand? You know, you're supposed to have all kinds of soldiers and armor and all this. I'm sorry, Gideon, this is not going to work. Gideon, this is not the way you do it when you have an army. Listen to us. We're the experts. We know better than you. We've been to all the seminars. We know how to conduct an army. Trust me. We went to West Point, East Point, North Point, and South Point. At all points in between, we know what we're doing. You need to come to some of our seminars so we can help you out, and you'll do better when it comes to fighting the enemy. Well, I'll tell you what, there's a whole bunch of people glad that he listened to God. But on the surface, it wouldn't have looked too wise, now would it? I mean, think of this. He starts off with 32,000 people, and by the time he gets done, he's got 300. Now listen, I don't know about you, but if I were Gideon, even though I knew I had heard from God, and I'm watching these thousands of people go home, and I'm looking at what's left, part of me on the inside is going to be asking me, are you sure you heard God? Anybody been there before? Okay, now, that whole story, this whole thing, is a perfect example of what's going on in the body of Christ and what the Lord showed me. Let me pull up this next slide. What he showed me was that the body of Christ is like this pyramid that you're seeing up on the screen. The base is very wide. And you'll see next to the pyramid, just there to the left, is a scale that goes from 0 to 10. That represents spiritual growth. And you'll notice that there are different colors in this pyramid. Down here at the bottom, right here, this is where everybody starts. When you get born again, this is you, right here. Now, if you start growing, you're going to be going from here straight on up in that direction. Now, as people are growing, as Christians are growing, churches, all right, as churches are growing, you'll notice that there are several different colors here, but you'll also notice that there is a transition in between each color. You see this? And so you go from one level to the next level, but as you're doing this, there is a period of transition. Now, I'll just clue you in. That period of transition is what some people refer to as an impasse relative to praying in the Spirit, okay? But you go through this period of transition to grow from level to level. As I was thinking about this, and this is what the Lord was showing me, and as He's speaking this to me, how that as churches are growing, some people don't want to grow with them. As churches are making progress in God, there are a lot of Christians that don't want to make progress in God. I mean, I know of one situation, I won't say what state, but the pastor was pastoring a church that was opposed to the gifts of the Spirit, being filled with the Holy Ghost, tongues and all that. But he had an encounter with the Holy Ghost, hallelujah. And whether or not he used wisdom, I don't know, but he announced before his congregation that he was filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues and so forth, and you know, they fired him. They didn't want to go any further. They did not want to go to that level of being filled with the Holy Spirit. So the easiest thing to do is just fire the guy. Because if we don't fire him, you know what he's going to be teaching us. We don't want to hear this. We like it just where we are. Hallelujah. As churches begin to grow, the number of people in those churches can begin to get smaller and smaller and smaller. Now, let me just throw in a disclaimer. This doesn't mean that every church which is small is a spiritual giant, okay? But the Lord was showing me this pattern. Now, what I'm going to do is give you some scriptures to go right along with this. See, as people begin to grow in the Lord, you're going to have some folks that are going to hang around. Some people, it's like, how can I put this? It's like they never change, but they hang around. No matter what you teach, no matter what you preach, it's like they never get upset about anything, never get offended about anything. They smile, they laugh, they amen, but yet they don't grow. I mean, they just don't grow. They're the people that exist. They're born again, but they just don't do anything. And you encounter people like this and you scratch your head and you think, what is it with you? And they'll tell you everything's fine. They'll tell you that they love God and so forth, but they just don't go any further with the Lord. And you're going to find, the Lord showed me how that you're going to find people like that in any church that's going forward with Him. You'll find, you know, one or two, or depending upon the size of the church, you'll find people that are like that. They'll be there, but they just don't go anywhere spiritually. They're just not making any progress. You know, they'll you have a covered dish dinner, they'll bake a meatloaf. And I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like they're there, but they're not progressing spiritually. And those people, they exist. Yeah, they love the Lord. They're going to heaven. But it's like something's not clicking on the inside. I'm not saying that they're mentally deficient. I'm just saying something's not clicking on the inside, and they're just not going anywhere with God. But they're in a church that's going somewhere with God. So, you know, at least they're there, hearing, whatever. But you've got people that are going to listen to these things. And I'm just going to give you a few, you know, pointers here, things that the Lord shared with me. Most people are going to leave right here in the transition stage. They're not going to leave at a specific level because they like it there. But if the church starts to go forward into the next levels, it's in this transition stage where they start becoming extremely uncomfortable, and they're going to leave. Those that are going to leave, that's when they're going to leave. They're not going to wait until you get to that next level. They're not going to wait until the congregation has moved forward at that point. Because the moment that the congregation begins to move forward at that point, at the moment that the congregation starts to move up, they're going to start getting uncomfortable. And it's going to take a few weeks, a few months, I don't know, however long it takes. But if they're not going to go in that direction, they're going to leave. And they're usually, the Lord showed me, they're usually always going to leave right here in this transition stage before you get to that next level. And here's one of the keys that He showed me in this. When somebody who used to be a frequent attender began slacking off in their attendance, they're not long for this church. Now, that doesn't mean they can't turn it around, okay? And that doesn't mean that they can't get back on track. But when somebody who's been a regular attender starts missing, now I'm not talking about like a sickness or something like that. I'm not talking if they go on vacation. I'm talking about, you know, if they just start missing, then they're probably going to be leaving pretty soon, unless they're one of the existers. Remember the exister. It's the person, they're there, but it's like they're not going any further. It's just, they're just there. But if a person is here when the church starts making that kind of progress, trying to go forward into God, and they're not going to do it, you're going to know it. I guarantee you're going to know it. They may come and say something to you, probably about the pastor. And folks, you have to understand, this message is not just for this church. This is what the Lord showed me about the body of Christ and any church that's going forward with Him. They're probably going to say something about the pastor and other people in the church, and they're going to be uncomfortable. They're going to look for those that will listen to them, and if they can, fill their ears. But it's just a matter of time before they leave, and the leavers, they're going to be leaving during a transition stage, during that growth stage, during that time when the church is passing from one level into the next level with the Lord. Some, and this is what's interesting, some people, they're going to grow, they're going to grow, they're going to grow, and then all of a sudden, they stop. The church will continue to grow, but they have gone from being a grower to an exister. They have reached what some people might call a comfort zone. And that's it, man, right there. They stop. They stop. They're not going any further. They're not growing anymore. And it's now they're not in sin, okay? We're not talking about people that go back out there and get in sin. We're talking about people we're talking about spiritual maturity here. And so they reach that point, they've grown. And it's like you look at them. Now, I can attest to this. I've seen it happen in people over the years. You're observing somebody growing spiritually, and you see what's happening in their lives, and you see how they're going from here to there, and they're making some progress, and you know that it's just a matter of time to where if they keep doing this, they are going to break into an area of their ministry where they've never been before, and God is going to start moving through them in their ministry, in their calling, in a powerful way, and it's just going to continue to increase. And then all of a sudden, they stop. And you sit back and you think, but you were doing so well. You were making progress. What's happened here? They don't leave the church. They just stop. And the weeks go by, and the months go by, and the years go by, and they're going nowhere. They have reached a particular level, and they just, for whatever reason, don't seem to want to go any further with the Lord. And yet the church is still making some progress. But now they've gone from being a grower to an exister. But now there's another side to this. If you have a Christian who is growing, but the church is not, one of two things is going to happen. That person is going to leave that church and find a church that is a growing church. I'm not talking numerically, I'm talking spiritually. They're going to leave that church and find a church that is growing spiritually. Or they're going to start turning into an exister within their own level of spiritual growth. And I've encountered this so many times, where people, they have this idea, they're going to make the, they're not the pastor, but they have this idea they're going to make the change in the church just by being there. And you've been there for how long? 5 years. How much change have you made? Well, I have a lot of friends. Oh, hallelujah. But how much change have you made? Have you been able to impact the pastor? Well, I don't get to talk to him that much. For crying out loud, what are you doing? You're making excuses. And that's really all it is. And what they do, if they don't leave and find a church that is headed in the same direction they are, they'll stop. They're going to think they're growing, but in order to continue growing, they're going to have to keep telling God, stop telling me to get out of this church that refuses to go in the direction where I'm headed. I like it where I am. God's going to say, hey, my instructions to you are to get in a place where you can continue, where you can be nourished in your growth. And you're not going to do this. I can't help you until you obey me at this point. Now there is an exception to this. Because I was thinking one time about, you know, God, why would you leave somebody in a church that's not growing spiritually? You know, somebody out there, you know, they're growing and they're learning these. Just take a church where they don't believe in speaking in tongues and somebody gets filled with the Holy Ghost and they understand about praying in tongues and they're growing spiritually. God, why would you leave them in that church? And I didn't think that he would. And he said, there is a reason. Because as some people begin to grow spiritually beyond the spiritual level of the leadership in that church, they can become haughty and prideful, and thinking of themselves as having more value than even the pastor of that church. And he said, that is rebellion. Even if the pastor is not preaching things that should be preached, even if he's still preaching, using this example, even if he's still preaching against the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, that person's still the pastor of that church. And because of that, I recognize as God, I recognize that person's authority within that church. And I would leave someone in that church to teach them to humble themselves to authority, because if they don't learn that there and they go someplace else, that seed of rebellion is in there. And it's just a matter of time before it will rise up in something else. And he said, so I would leave somebody in a church like that to teach them humility if they have that rebellion thing going on. Well, now let's put some verses to this. Notice here, on the left-hand side, we have the colors and the numbers there, the chart. And notice this color here, the green, all right? Now look how this is relative. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Can you see how that's relative to when you first start growing in the Lord? So here we are, everybody starts at the same place. Everybody. When you get born again, we all start at the same starting gate. And now we have an instruction. As newborn babes, we're supposed to desire the milk of the Word, that we can grow thereby. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Doesn't mean you can't be. It just means that right now you aren't. And you're supposed to be. Now you'll notice in here, do you see how there is a transition of the color? See that? Okay, this represents the fact that we're supposed to be growing from babe along further in our spiritual walk with God so that we can become everything that He wants us to become. But right now, here's where we've started. And we're supposed to desire the Word. Now, you and I both know that some people, they don't do that. They get born again and that's just like, that's it. They're Christians, but it's like they just never seem to go beyond that. Well, let's look here at this next one. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Okay, now, can you see how there is a difference here from down here? Some people might think that this is saying essentially the same thing, but it's not, because it says right here, you have need that one teach you again. In other words, you were at a place to where you had some spiritual growth, all right? So this verse represents people that have grown. They have grown. They just messed up. Okay? But this does represent a transition into the next level, because you have gone beyond the level of a babe. You're no longer just, you know, a newbie in this thing. All right? You have experienced some spiritual growth. And so here it says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Now, once again, can you see how that there is a progress here? The growth is taking place. Now, you can't leave the principles if you don't know the principles. You understand what I'm saying? So here we're seeing somebody that's gone beyond the babe stage. And they're growing now. They're making some progress. They've gotten into the Word. And now God is telling us, look, it's time to go on beyond the principles of the doctrine of Christ. And you know what? It's kind of frustrating, though, because you and I both know that there are a lot of Christians out there that they don't want to go beyond this. And what's so ironic is that they say they want to. But as soon as they're presented with what's going to do it, take them beyond it, beyond the, you know, the principles, they don't want to have anything to do with it. That's not what our church preaches. Well, let me get this straight. You want to go beyond, but yet not unless it's something your church preaches. Well, if your church isn't preaching what's going to take you beyond, then how are you going to go beyond? Think about this. Well, what's going to help us in here? He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Now, really, that one, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, that ought to be handed out to the people that are down here. It really should be, they should be taught that from day one. You and I both know it doesn't happen like that all the time. But nevertheless, if we are going to go beyond the principles of the doctrine of Christ, we better well start doing this right here. Start praying in the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit wants to take us beyond the very foundational, fundamental things. In fact, the thing is, a lot of folks, they don't even get past this. I mean, the doctrine of baptism is plural. Go into some churches and start talking to them about baptism is plural. And see what they have to say. Well, there's only one. We got a big tank up front. That's the one we use. Well, what's that verse mean? We don't know. But nevertheless, if we're going to do this, go beyond these principles of the doctrine of Christ, then we better be including praying in the Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit be our teacher the way God said. All right, now let's continue looking at the progress. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Okay, can you see now we're entering into a level of strong meat? Because, you know, babes can't handle it. But now, looking at this verse alone, we're seeing how that there's this introduction of strong meat, and it belongs to them that are of full age. So now here we are. We're going beyond the babe stage. We're entering into this level of, you know, the principles of the doctrine of Christ. We're going beyond that. We're praying in the Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit is working in us to help us get to the place of developing some spiritual chompers so that we can chew down on some of this strong meat. Are you with me? Okay, now let's look as we keep growing. but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Grow in grace. See, here's the thing. A lot of people don't understand grace. Remember a while back I taught that series on grace? When people start understanding what grace is all about, and they start entering into a level of the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, this verse, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, this was written to the body of Christ. Now, when I accepted Jesus Christ and I became born again, I came to know Jesus in my salvation. You understand what I'm saying? But even though I knew Him for salvation, I did not know Him. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, think of how it was when you first got born again. God was still way up there on the throne, and you're still way down here, and oh, you just don't know if you can approach God. You know how it was when you first get born again. He's so far removed from you. But as you begin to grow in grace, and you begin to grow in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this is way beyond being born again. You come to know who He is and who you are in Him. You come to understand that His grace is not something that just gives you permission to go out and sin. You begin to understand that His grace is an almighty power that comes from God. It's a revelation of who God is to mankind. I am grace. I am God. And so spiritually, as we begin to mature, we come to an understanding of this thing. What is this grace? It's not just a five-letter word that makes me feel good sometimes when I sing about it. But this is something that I can begin to understand. Here's the thing about it. The more that you grow spiritually, the more that you're going to come to an understanding of what grace is all about. You begin to understand it's just not God saying, what's that? You say you're sorry? Well, okay, my grace is sufficient. No, you begin to understand, man, grace is a dwelling place. Grace is a place of His love. It's a place of His presence. I mean, it's His love extended to me. It's hard to put in words. But you begin to understand it. And even though you understand it, or even though it's kind of hard to explain it, it's like you, spiritually, you have this comprehension of grace, something you never had before when you were first born again. And in the process, you're coming to a knowledge of Jesus. The Bible talks about being a friend of God. You come to the place of understanding Jesus as the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He goes beyond somebody that can't be approached, somebody that can't be touched. He becomes a friend to you. Oh, He's Lord and He's Savior, and you understand that, but you also understand He's there for you all the time. Never leaves you. He is a personal friend. He is somebody that is, I mean, if He was physical, you could, you know, like touch Him. I mean, He starts becoming that real to you. Not just a Savior up in heaven that someday is going to come down on a white horse and a trumpet sound. He becomes intimate with you spiritually as you come to the knowledge of Him and you're growing in this. And you'll notice again how we continue to progress right along here, how we're continuing to make the same progress. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love. See, there are a lot of people that speak things, but it's not truth. This verse, okay, think of it this way. Jesus made the statement that the Holy Spirit would teach us all things, did He not? And He said that the Holy Spirit would lead and guide us into all truth, okay? Now, speaking the truth in love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, that is right in the middle of God's instruction to the body of Christ. He talks about how that the Lord gave gifts unto men and so forth, and some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and so on. And then, in the remainder of that fourth chapter, He's talking about spiritual maturity. You know, not getting caught up with every wind of doctrine and guarding yourself against those who would teach wrong doctrine and so on and so forth. In other words, this is talking about us getting into the place of walking in a level of truth. Let's put it like this. Just insert the word speaking the truth, all right? Let's insert right in between the word the and truth, doctrinal. Speaking the doctrinal truth. See, anybody, even a newborn babe, can look at somebody else and say, Jesus loves you. And that's truth. It's eternal truth. Even a newborn babe in Christ could look at somebody and say, if you'll accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you'll be born again. And that's true. But that is not what this passage is talking about. Go back and read that whole fourth chapter of Ephesians. This is talking about coming to the place of understanding God's Word. It's coming to the place of understanding the doctrine that God has established in His Word. Not the doctrine that's preached by every different denomination out there, because they don't agree. It's going beyond I just put it like this, and I'm not trying to be mean, but going beyond the pettiness of a denomination and holding on to that doctrine only and growing into the truth that God has established for the ages. That's what this verse is talking about. That's why this verse is way up here. Because you don't get way up there overnight. It takes some perseverance. It takes some growth. But now look at this, which is the head, even Christ. Grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Okay, we're headed up to the head. See what I'm saying? We're growing in that direction. Okay, now let's look at the next one. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That is where we're headed, right there. Conforming to the image of Christ. Becoming a reflection of Jesus. Changed into the same image from glory to glory. Hallelujah. This is what we're headed for, guys, is to be conformed to that image. That's why this verse right here is the hardest verse. I mean, this is like, the pinnacle of our spiritual growth, to get to the place of being in the image of Jesus. Now, you think in the Bible of different people. And like in the New Testament, these people were who conveyed Jesus to us, like the Apostle Paul, for example. And a lot of people have said that the Apostle Paul, I'll say it like this. A lot of people have inferred that the Apostle Paul was spiritually way beyond anybody else. However, if you take a look at John and the things that John wrote, the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, but especially 1st John, you're going to see a level of speaking the truth in love. You're going to see a level of spiritual maturity that's right there with Paul. And don't forget that the apostles all preached the same thing. But nevertheless, this is where we're headed. To be changed into the same image, hallelujah, from glory to glory. So thinking of it like that, you were supposed to be going from glory to glory, from 1, 2, 3, all the way up here to where we're changed into the same image as Jesus. So now we have verses that we can relate to as far as this is concerned. But let me show you something else in this. As we're growing spiritually, like I shared with you earlier, as churches are growing, you're going to have some people, they're going to stop at different levels. They're going to leave your church at different levels if the church is still going forward with God. And you know what's hard about this? Is that if you're around long enough, people that leave are not always people that are causing trouble. And you might wonder, why did they leave? I think you've got your answer already. Why did they leave? Remember what I said, what the Lord shared with me about how that when people start becoming more and more infrequent in their attendance, they used to be all the time, doors are open, they are there. And then all of a sudden, well, not all of a sudden, but slowly but surely, they start slacking off. Well, something's going on here, guys. It's not God telling them to stay away. Unless the church has gotten messed up in sin, but that's not what we're talking about here tonight. And so, here we are, we have, everybody starts here, okay? And then as churches begin growing, it's like you get fewer and fewer people. And the Lord showed me something relative to that. There is a church for every level. Now when He said this to me at first, I sat there and I'm thinking about this. You've got churches for people that get born again and they don't do anything with it. Now just think about all the Christians you know and all the different churches that are out there. And think about how big some of these churches are, like I said at the beginning of this message. You've got churches that'll get people born again And, I mean, they basically don't do anything with it. But then you've got churches that'll get people born again, and then maybe they've got, you know, some Bible studies or whatever. And then you've got some churches that, you know, they'll get people born again, and then they have, you know, like Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. No, in other words, no matter what level, no matter what level you're at right here, you are always going to find a church at that level. And when somebody is in, say, a level 2 church, and the level 2 church starts pressing into level 3, and this person doesn't like it, and they're uncomfortable, you know what they're going to do? They're going to leave your church, and they're going to go find themselves a level 2 church. They're not going to go find a level 5 church, because they can't even handle moving into level 3. So they're going to go out and start looking for a church. And the reason they're going to give is, the Lord said it's time to move on. That's the reason everybody gives. Or they might say something like, well, things just aren't the same there. Well, praise God if they're going from 2 to 3 or 3 to 4 or wherever. Praise God for that. But the Lord showed me there is a church for every single level. Okay? Now, I'm just using the scale of 1 to 10 as an example. All right? And the colors are just to, you know, help you see this. But he said, that, and this is why you've got some churches that are adamantly opposed to the gifts of the Spirit, but they're running 8,000 people. Now, they'll tell you to get born again, but they're running. Now, why is that? Because you've got 8,000 Christians who are comfortable at level 4. And they found a level 4 church that meets what they're looking for. It's got all the programs, it's got all the level 4 programs, it's got all the level 4 missions work, it's got all the level 4 vacation Bible school, it's got all the level 4 choir, it's got all the level 4, everything that they need, everything that they want for them right there at level 4. So now you've got 8,000 people at a level 4 church, and you can't figure out why it is. How can those people be happy in a church like that that won't even tell them about being filled with the Holy Spirit? It's because that's where they're walking. That's where they are. Now you let that 8,000 member level 4 church get a pastor that gets filled with the Holy Ghost and starts praying in tongues. Guess who's not going to be running 8,000 people pretty soon? Because you're going to have people at that level 4 church, they start hearing their pastor teach things that he didn't used to teach or maybe taught against, and they're going to say, this is not right. We can't handle this. And the pastor's trying to take the people up to level 5. He's trying to help them get filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm not saying level 5 is getting filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm just using examples here, okay? And they're going to say, no, no, we don't like this. And so, woo, they leave and they start looking. And pretty soon, aha, here's another level 4 church. And that's where they go. And they're going to be happy. Now, we might not, but they're going to be happy because they have found a church that has parked itself right where these people want to park. But now, here's the thing about it. God will work in each church within the truth they accept and at the level to which they have attained. Now, this is the part a lot of people might not like. But now, think with me. If you've got a church at level 1, preaching you must be born again. And I mean, boy, they are doing a good job of preaching you must be born again. They've got teams that go out on Friday and Saturday night, street corners, door to door, whatever. You must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born again. And you know what? God's going to work with you must be born again. Because He wants people born again. But if that's all these people at level 1 give Him, that's all He has to work with. It isn't that He wouldn't like to heal people. It's just that these people have not come to the place of accepting the truth that by Jesus' stripes you were healed. And so God is working in that church only within the truth. Trust me, He is not going to work within a lie. He is only working within the truth that these people have accepted, and He can only work with them at the level to which they have grown. That's all He can do. But He'll do it. You say, but why? I mean, It almost sounds like he's blessing that 8,000 member church. Well, here's what he is blessing. He's blessing the truth. He will bless the truth. Man, it's his word. It's his word. And he'll bless that. Now, he's not going to bless the Holy Ghost baptism in tongues is not for today. He will not bless that. But he will bless. Jesus loves you, and he died on the cross for you. He shed his blood for you. And if you accept him, he will change your life forever. You'll be born again. You will pass from death. God is going to stand behind every word when that kind of a message is being preached. So God was showing me, he says, listen, I'm going to work within each church. I'll work in each church within the truth they accept and at the level to which they have attained. In other words, it's like, whatever they give me, that's what I'll work with. And you know, I'll just admit, that almost doesn't sound right. In other words, I don't want you working. I want you working here. And he is working here. You guys know what I'm talking about. That goes back to that grace. That goes back to that mercy. That goes back to that love. That goes back to his compassion. That goes back to all of those things. And you know, if nothing else, at least thank God these people are born again. I mean, if nothing else, thank God for that. You know? But now let me show you something here. This is the way it looks in the natural, right? You have all these people at these lower levels, and then the church starts to grow. And as the church starts growing spiritually, and you know, more truth is coming out, and more doctrines are being challenged with Scripture and so forth. You know, people start dropping off and going, you know, staying down in here and so forth. And it's like fewer and fewer people truly are willing to pay whatever spiritual price it takes to get up here. That's the way it looks in the natural, but now let me show you what it looks like in the realm of the Spirit. When you're down here, this is all God can do in that church. It's all the glory that can come in. It's all the presence that can... That's it. Because that's all the truth they're offering him. That's as far as they've gone. And it's sad, and I say it like this, breaks his heart, you know, to use that term. Breaks his heart. It saddens God that this is where they've decided to settle in. Because this is it. It's all he can do. But for those that continue growing, look at this. There's more glory. There's more presence. There's more anointing. Hallelujah. Look at that. This is what it looks like in the realm of the Spirit. Because the more that you grow spiritually is the more God is able to do in your midst. It's the more that God is able to do through you. It's the more of His anointing He is able to release. The more of His presence that can manifest because you're not hindering Him with a refusal to grow. You're seeking Him for the purpose of growing. And as you're growing, He's able to manifest Himself in greater and greater fashion. Now let me tell you what. You know where you're really headed to up here? You know, we talked about the image of Christ conforming to the... You know what this is really up here? Love. That's what it is right there. Love. Pure love. Pure love. You say, well, how do you know that? God is love. The Bible doesn't say God is anointing. The Bible doesn't say God is power. I mean, we understand He is, has those things. But the Bible says God is love. That is where you're headed right there. Love. That's why 1 John is one of the most powerful books in all of the Bible. Because the emphasis really is on love. Praise the Lord. That's where we're headed. And so see, here's what's so interesting. If this is the ultimate level, this is where the greatest amount of God's love flows. Now think about this. So down here, oh, is it that God doesn't love the people down there? Please don't misunderstand me. He loves them. It's just that they don't understand the depths of His love. They don't understand the fullness of who He is. Now they do have an understanding, but it's not up here. It seems, I'll give you an example. Over 23 years ago, we got married. We met on July 3rd, 1981. Now, when we met, I did not know her like I know her now. It has taken me 23 years to get to this point of knowing her the way that I know her. So, using this as an example, I've been moving up in my relationship with her. That's the way it is with Jesus. The thing is, though, when it comes to spiritual growth, that's something that you can accelerate by spending more and more time in His presence and seeking Him. You can accelerate your spiritual growth. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I am here, okay? I'm not telling you I'm up there. What I'm telling you is, this is what God showed me, okay? This is where we're supposed to be going, all of us. So, I don't know, you know, maybe I'm here, maybe I'm here, maybe I'm here, maybe you're here, maybe you're there, I don't know. Maybe our church is here, maybe our church is here, I don't know yet. I mean, honestly, I don't know. God didn't reveal that to me. Maybe that's a good thing, hallelujah. But I like this image right here. So even though in the natural, it can look like God's not doing anything, if you're doing what you're supposed to do to grow spiritually, friends, this is the way we're going. This is what's happening in our midst. This is what is taking place. And this, that right there, more than having all of this down here, is what I want. As a pastor of a church, I want us to grow spiritually. So, in the realm of the Spirit, I want us to look like this. Even if the physical numbers aren't there, I know that if we get up into here, we're going to have an impact on people in this church and outside this church and around this world in a way that churches down here can't. At least the people down here are born again. At least they're my brothers and sisters in the Lord. But listen, guys, it's nothing personal. I'm not satisfied to stay down here. That's not what I want. I want to keep going deeper and deeper, because what's neat is the more of Jesus that I begin to experience, the more Jesus I want to experience. And it goes beyond just a religious kind of a thing. It enters into that realm of a personal relationship with the God who created the universe. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I chose to use that verse to say this. All the time that you spend in prayer, all the time that we spend in fasting, all the time we spend in worship, all the time we spend in the Word. And I'm not talking about when we come together as a congregation for a church service. I'm talking about in our lives. It is not in vain. It is not in vain. We are growing spiritually. You give Jesus 5 minutes of quality time and you're going to have 5 minutes of spiritual growth. You give Him 5 hours, you're going to have 5 hours of spiritual progress. It is not in vain. And there at the beginning where it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, this is what I would leave you with. Don't let anything move you out of your progress with the Lord. You say, but Brother Martin, you know, when these people leave, it's like, well, I don't like to see them go. Like I do. I don't like to see anybody leave the church. But the Lord showed me that, you know, there's a difference between weeding out and an attack. And how that if you have people in your church that are at a level 4 and the church is headed into level 5, and they're just not cutting it. It's not because they can't. They're just not. He said, you need to let them go. You need to let them go and not try to hold them back. Because if they refuse to go into level 5 and the rest of the church goes into level 5, then they're going to cause problems somewhere along the line. And he said, let them go and I'll take them to a church at their level. They'll love me. I'll love them. They'll be able to serve me at that level. let them go. And let them serve me in that church that's at their level, where they're comfortable, and so on and so forth. Now, you know, that's not an easy thing to do. But that's how God weeds people out. And the worst thing that you can do is grow into level 5 and try to hang on to the level 3 people to make them stay. I mean, if they're not going to do it, let them go to a level 3 church. Let them serve the Lord there. Let them love God there. Let them worship God there. It's okay. It isn't that God doesn't want them to grow, but there's a church out there where they can be used at that level. Now, you and I both know we'd love to see everybody grow. We'd love to see everybody go to 5, 6, 7, 8, and so on. But guys, some folks aren't. Some folks are going to be a level 3 Christian their whole lives. Okay, let them stay then in a level 3 church and serve the Lord there. It's not God's best, but at least, praise the Lord, they're trying at their level. The attacks are going to come two different ways. For the people that want to be in a level, whatever church, going to the next level, people that want to be there, Satan will attack to try to keep them from growing. Attack through sickness or whatever. You know, do what he can to try to keep them from being in attendance and so on and so forth. Because what he wants to do ultimately is get them to make a decision to stop growing. He wants to get them to make a decision to quit going forward, to just give up and stay right where they are. Because if he can do that, then he can take them out of a church that's going to the next level and keep them where they are. So it's a two-pronged thing. To try and discourage a person that is trying to grow and then to take somebody out who they couldn't care anyway. But listen, for us, anybody at all, any Christian, be steadfast. Be unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Not just, you know, serving, you know, doing this. Relative to this message tonight, the work of the Lord, praying, fasting, worshiping, getting into the Word. In other words, doing the spiritual work necessary to grow and to keep growing and to keep growing. Because see, in a church, if we do this together and we keep growing collectively, the entire church begins to grow into the next level. The Bible talks about in the Old Testament how that when they begin to praise and worship, the glory of the Lord filled the house and the priest couldn't stand to minister because of the presence of God. Guys, you can say what you want, but I do not believe that is just an Old Testament story. And I personally believe that a congregation, I believe that was an example of what it can be. And I believe it's possible for a congregation to grow to the point to where the presence of God is so heavy in a church, I don't know what would happen. Oh, I can imagine things. But there just aren't that many churches like that, but we can be one of them. If we want to be. Any church can, if they want to be. But you got to be willing to be stripped and pruned and shredded and everything else, you know, spiritually, to get the junk out so you can keep going and keep impressing in that direction of that perfect love. Hallelujah. Praise God. I like it when God shows me things like this. Praise the Lord. And as I look across the congregation, I see growers. Hallelujah. All right. Why don't you grow to your feet and begin to worship the Lord?